I remember when I was with Special Forces. Seems a thousand centuries ago. We went into a camp to inoculate some children. We left the camp after we had inoculated the children from polio. And this old man came running after us and he was crying. He couldn't say. We went back there and they had come and hacked off every inoculated arm. There they were in a pile. A pile of little arms. And I remember I cried, I wept like some grandmother. I wanted to tear my teeth out. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I want to remember it. I never want to forget it. I never want to forget. And then I realized, like I was shot. Like I was shot with a diamond. A diamond bullet right through my forehead. And I thought, my God, the genius of that. The genius. The will to do that. Perfect, genuine, complete, crystalline, pure. And then I realized, they were stronger than me because they could stand it. These were not monsters. These were men, trained cadres. These men who fought with their hearts, who have families, who have children, who are filled with love. But they have the strength, to do that.
The law of country.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Friday, October 7th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, the WAR Global Sit Rep for Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends to help you keep your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening to this program, you are as well. And you can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can currently get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, OspreyRadio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, and SRN1. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way that you see fit. Not too much feedback to speak of, but I do have just an absolute boatload of news, so let's get straight into that. Right off the top, Oprah sent me in some stuff on thought crime news. Very interesting news here. Government delegates are meeting this week at the World Intellectual Property Organization, WIPO, as a General Assembly in Geneva to discuss the WIPO Development Agenda, World Intellectual Property. So this is the thought ownership sort of forum here. The meeting will determine how developing countries must implement existing controversial intellectual property rights laws, including copyrights, patents, and trademarks, so that they can, you know, advance themselves out of step with the rest of the world. Because, of course, we've already thought of everything, and they're not allowed to, you know, copy our thoughts. You know, that would be cool. Even though they're a developing country and they desperately need it, we got to make sure they give us money for that shit. They will also consider the disputed proposal for a global treaty on the protection of broadcast and webcasting organizations. I see. The Broadcasting's webcasting treaty proposal, published by the traditional broadcast organizations and lobbyists for a handful of internet publishers, including Yahoo, is being pushed hardest by the United States government, which, ironically, has never considered such legislation domestically. Oh, imagine that. The treaty would create a new layer of intellectual monopoly, right? new intellectual monopoly rights for broadcasters, potentially including webcasters. Broadcasters would then be able to claim rights over material they broadcast, even material that was in the public domain or licensed under Creative Commons or copyleft licenses. Very interesting stuff. Well, if you happen to be in a third world and developing country and you're listening to Newsreel, worry not, because it's free for everyone. I don't care if you're, as long as you're human, you're allowed to listen to this broadcast. Not human, not allowed to listen to the broadcast. Well, if you're a pet, you're allowed to listen to the broadcast. Wild animals, okay. As long as you're an earthbound creature, as long as you were like, native to this planet. That doesn't include any aliens from other planets that came, well, I don't know. You know, then it becomes, well, what if they were born on Earth, Sean? What if aliens came to the planet and then they were born here? Are they then Earthlings? An interesting conundrum. But getting back to the news story, many developing countries, including Brazil, South Africa, India, Iran, Chile, and Venezuela, are asking for time to evaluate and study the proposals. And opposition to the treaty has been registered by numerous NGOs and public interest advocates. Fearing a repeat of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, or the DMCA as we've come to know and hate it, when U.S. copyright law has made it more strict to conform to the WIPO standards, a coalition of U.S. NGOs is currently circulating a sign-on letter, like a petition, calling for public hearings on the implications of a broadcaster treaty. Now, I don't really, this whole thing is just ridiculous to me, but anyway. In a recent Financial Times article, Professor James Boyle, law at Duke University, raised objections to the broadcasting webcasting treaty, saying that intellectual property laws are created without any empirical evidence that they are necessary or that they will help rather than hurt, end quote. He elaborated that such laws are made, quote, as though it was just a deal brokered between industry groups, end quote, and that concerns for public interest in competition, access, free speech, and vigorous technological markets take a back seat. Professor Boyle fears that communication networks are increasingly built around intellectual property rules with harmful effects, which of course they are. Whatever happened to just telling stories, huh? Whatever happened to just, you know, sort of giving away your stuff? Whatever happened to just talking? You know, just talking? If you're talking on a bus, does that mean every single word you say is intellectual property laws? What if you come up with a good idea? I guess you can't tell anybody your good ideas. That's not really on. This whole thing is just ridiculous. And furthermore, if I came up with a concept that helped a bunch of people in a third world nation get themselves together, well, shit, dude, I'd be all about that. As a matter of fact, I'd feel real good about it. Anyway, whatever. Now, on to some more paranoia. We got some RFID news. And just in case you haven't been able to keep up about what's going on, it seems that there's a new book by privacy advocates to make the case that corporations and government agencies are in collusion to put tiny radio transmitters on nearly everything we buy. Companies say it's about providing thought leadership. Is that correct? Thought leadership, not the mark of the beast. It's about providing thought leadership, not the mark of the beast. Okay, first of all, I've heard the term mark of the beast before, okay, but I've never heard the term thought leadership. That is, let's just roll that rule, thought leadership. I'm practicing thought leadership. Well, I would say that possibly Newsreel could be guilty of thought leadership, you know, because I'm out there, you know, kind of trying to broadcast. But my leading thoughts would be to generate you to think, whether or not you agree with me and my, you know, superior human supremacist views, or, you know, if you happen to be out on your own, you know, believing some crazy other sort of thought form. But anyway, as long as I stimulate you to think, that's okay. But for me, corporations practicing thought leadership is kind of that's sort of thought control, which is what I'm trying to do, is thought stimulus. But anyway. Catherine Albright and Liz McIntyre hope to become the twin Aaron Brockoviches of RFID by revealing the threat posed by the radio tag replacements of barcode labels. They may get their wish if readers believe the conclusions of the privacy advocate's new book, Spy Chips, How Major Corporations and Government Plan to Track Your Every Move with RFID. Pretty scary title for 1000.com, Alex. Albright and McIntyre make a staggering accusation in Spy Chips that Philips, Procter & Gamble, Gillette, NCR, and IBM are conspiring with each other and federal governments to follow individual consumers everywhere using embedded radio tags planted in their clothing and belongings. The businesses who form the center of the RFID industry hope to wirelessly monitor the contents of consumers' refrigerators, medicine cabinets, basement workbenches, even their garbage pails, the book claims. This is why we microwave our clothes. These companies have long insisted they are interested only in making their supply chains run more smoothly. Yes, there's nothing to be afraid of here. The authors, who run the consumer privacy group Caspian, support their assertions with company documents, records of patents and patent applications, and statements made by RFID industry leaders at corporate events. Aha, so they got the docs to back it up. They also cite magazine articles and news reports in which industry executives appear to be rubbing their hands over the power of RFID tags to track consumers. In one example, Gillette Vice President of Global Business Management. Anyway, his name is Dick Cantwell. Hey, Dick. It was quoted in 2001 Technology Review article as saying he looks forward to the company using RFID readers to track consumer use of its products at home. Dun, dun, dun. So this might be a pretty good book to lay your hands on just so we all stay up to speed with what's going on. Name of the book again? Spy Chips, : How Major Corporations and Government Plan to Track Your Every Move with RFID. So make sure you go out there and see if you can acquire a copy of that sucker. Maybe we can get that online so that everyone can disseminate that information because, well, that's the coming age we're heading towards. Speaking of which, into some gangster news, the recording industry may next aim its legal guns at satellite radio due to a dispute involving new portable players which lets listeners record and store songs, an analyst and industry sources say on Wednesday. So now they're going after the satellite guys. The record industry, led by major labels such as Vivendi Universal, Warner Music Group, EMI, Sony, BMG, believe recording capability is a clear copyright violation and could take revenue away from paid download music services. You know, those old tape players must be illegal now, too, because if you can record anything, I guess that's illegal. I guess that's how it works. Illegal song trading has been blamed by the record industry for a decline in sales, and labels have become increasingly aggressive in their legal battles to defend their product. Now that focus includes portable players. There are genuine issues here, but it's our continuing hope that we can resolve this on a business-to-business basis, says an RIA spokesman. The two music industry sources say that the two sides were in talks to resolve the issue that could go to court over the matter. JP Morgan analyst Barton Crockett in a report suggested there might be more conflict in store. Geez, you know, these guys better get their shit together, really. I mean, it's totally insane. Everybody knows this. Everybody knows this is completely nuts. It's broadcasting. People can record a broadcast. You know, they usually chop off the ends of the songs anyway. I don't see what the problem is. Based on recent talks with execs at record labels and Recording Industry Association of America, we see potential spats ahead. RAA may file a lawsuit this fall to stop a new feature for upcoming wearable satellite radios. He wrote, wearable satellite radios. Number one satellite provider, XM Satellite Radio Holdings Incorporated, said it was also hopeful the issue would be resolved. Well, I'll tell you, if I ever get on satellite radio, they can record whatever the hell I want. The music industry is an important partner, and we continue to listen to their concerns and hopes in finding a resolution that benefits everyone, especially consumers. Oh, I'm sure you're real concerned about the fucking consumers, said Nathaniel Brown, a spokesman for XM Cyrus Satellite Radio. XM's SAR Satellite Radio Incorporated declined to comment. Well, you know, they've got to get their shit together, and they don't want to comment on this because they got legal proceedings, yada, yada, yada. Let's hope that satellite radio can stand up to the RIAA, but let's not hold our breath on that because, well, they've got a lot of money, even though, of course, they're losing millions of dollars in sales. Millions of dollars. Oh, my God. It's amazing they can stay alive with all the music that's being stolen. Oh, my God. On to some battery news. Scientists at the University of Wisconsin-Madison have developed a new type of lithium battery that could last how long? 12 years. A lithium battery that can last 12 years. That's hot. The battery uses a current lithium battery technology found in laptops and portable devices, but contains an organosilicone electrolyte. Organosilicone. There's an online name, eh? Organosilicone. The researchers will use the batteries in medical implants such as pacemakers and muscle stimulators to help Parkinson's patients. Well, of course, we wouldn't want to put those in MP3 players or anything like that because the battery market would take a shit. It turns out that the organosilicone compounds are really good at improving lithium battery technology, said Robert West, emeritus professor of chemistry at Wisconsin-Madison. The compounds are very flexible and they don't solidify. They're stable, non-flammable, non-toxic, and pose no threat to the environment, which is handy because they go inside your body. In order to boost the efficiency still further, Professor West's team had to develop a designer silicones that would pass the electrical charge more efficiently, like gold, I don't know, like gold-laced silicone or something. The team has used the technology in a micro-stimulator, a device not much larger than a pencil lead that can be injected near target nerves to help overcome faulty nervous system wiring at the heart of Parkinson's, epilepsy, and incontinence. Current medical batteries last about 6 years, and the team believes the new technology can double that. Battery replacement is a big problem for patients since it often requires invasive surgery. So now you get to do it once every 12 rather than once every 6. But my question to you is, why aren't they selling these batteries on the open market for things like, you know, AA, AAA, and 9 volt? That's the big question. Oh, I know why. It's how has to do with market. Yes, that's right. There's no point in selling batteries that last longer because we'll all lose money. Money, 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 money. This is one of the ideas on why this is one of the big arguments for communism. You know, a lot of these guys stand back and they go, well, you know, in a communist society, we would just be going with the best for everyone. And that way, everyone benefits. Unfortunately, even in a communist society, we still have greed. And as well, the Soviet Union had a lot of really smart people in there. And it fell apart. Mind you, China is doing a lot of stuff right now, and they're full-on communists, so, you know, it'd be interesting to see. Maybe communism is a better system. I hope not. I'm not really in love with the whole communist system, but, you know, maybe it is. I guess we'll have to rely on Darwinian conflict to sort this out. Now, on to some Mud Hut news. Here we go. The hierarchy, this is good stuff. The hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church has published a teaching document instructing the faithful that some parts of the Bible are not actually true. Period. Full stop. So the Roman Catholic Church has come out and said, the Word of God isn't exactly accurate. The Catholic bishops of England, Wales, and Scotland are warning their 5 million worshippers, as well as any others drawn to the study of Scripture, they should not expect total accuracy from the Bible. So, you know, clue in. Well, it's good to see that the Catholic Church is starting to, you know, in the face of blatant, you know, inaccuracies are coming out. Okay, well, maybe the Bible isn't totally accurate. And that goes in the no shit Sherlock category. We should not expect to find in Scripture full scientific accuracy or complete historical precision, they say in the gift of Scripture. Or should it be the duping of Scripture or the Scripture's dupe or perhaps hoax? This document is timely, considering it's coming as it does, and the rise of religious right, in particular in the United States. Yes, and as well, there's this huge argument going along with the intelligent design. Some Christians want a literal interpretation of the story of creation. Yes, that's right. The Earth is like 20,000 years old. One man, one woman. Even though they mainly say all fuck their own kids, and we're all a bunch of product of incest, as it is told in Genesis, taught along Darwin's theory of evolution in schools, believing intelligent designed to be an equally plausible theory, which, of course, it is not, because they are, well, stupid. Of how, and this is, you know, intelligent design of how the world began. This is, you know, like, oh, my demon-haunted world. By the first, but the first 11 chapters of Genesis, in which two different and at times conflicting stories of creation are told, are among those in the country's Catholic bishops insist and cannot be historical. At most, they say, they may contain historical traces. There was a garden, there was this guy, and chicks were made from guys' ribs. The document shows how far the Catholic Church has come since the 17th century. Well, good for you. You know, it's nice to see that you're sort of admitting minor things. They haven't come very far since the 17th century. After all, we still got, you know, the Benedictine guy up there. When Galileo was condemned as a heretic for flouting a near universal belief in the divine inspiration of the Bible by advocating the Copernican view of the solar system, only a century ago, Pope Pius X condemned modernist Catholic scholars who adopted historical critical methods of analyzing ancient literature to the Bible. In the document, the bishops acknowledge their debt to biblical scholars. They say the Bible must be approached in the knowledge that it is God's words expressed in human language, and that the proper acknowledgement should be given to both the Word of God and its human dimensions. They say the Church must offer the gospel in ways that, quote, appropriate to changing times, intelligible and attractive to our contemporaries. That way we can keep the demon, darkly haunted world alive. The Bible is true in passages related to human salvation, they say, but continue, we should not expect total accuracy from the Bible and other secular matters. So, you know, maybe they could put out like a yellow highlighter edition to go with the red letter edition. So everything that's highlighted is true and everything that's not highlighted is not true. Maybe God could send an editor down. That'd be great. They go on to condemn fundamentalism for its intransigent tolerance. Wow, I'll have to look that up. And to warn for significant dangers involved in the fundamentalist approach. That's some rich shit right there. The Roman Catholics arguing dangers in fundamentalist approach. Such an approach is dangerous, for example, when people of one nation group see the Bible as a mandate for their own superiority, and even consider themselves printed by the Bible to use violence against others, which, incidentally, it clearly says in the Bible, and it clearly says in the Quran, and the Torah as well, which is why they're all mudhut religions and we need to bin them. Thanks for coming out. Now, in going with the whole mudhut, you know, kind of thing going on here, we cannot deny, getting past, you know, the whole Alex Jones thing here, getting past that, you know, the whole whether or not the 9/11 thing was actually a conspiracy or not, getting past that, okay, I would say that even if 9/11 was a conspiracy, even if that is the case, okay, we've got to bear in mind that there are a lot of really crazy motherfuckers over there, part of Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is not run by the CIA. Okay, let's be real about this. Now, in this next news story here, in Desert War News, an insurgent group linked to Al-Qaeda has posted an internet video of the beheading of two Iraqis. It said served as spies for the U.S. military. So these two Iraqi dudes gave some info to the U.S. military. The video, dated September 12th, showed two shirtless men having their heads severed with a large knife. Their heads were then placed on their bodies, placed on their chest, actually. The group, Ansar al-Sunna, claimed that the two men, named Shakir Mohab Jassem and Raida Najem Abdullah, had confessed to spying for U.S. forces based in Dora and the southern outskirts of Baghdad. It filmed them being interrogated off camera, and a statement posted on the group's website said that each of the men had been charged of the 30-member cells operating around the Capitol. Each of the men had been in charge of 30-member cells operating around the Capitol. So these guys were in charge of guys who were working with the United States. They denounced several Muslims who were then attacked in their homes, arrested and detained in the prison of the Crusaders where they are still being held. So these guys, you know, called in a bunch of terrorists, and these terrorists were arrested by, you know, what they're calling them, Crusaders here, and they're still in the slammer because they're terrorist bags of shit. The Islamic Tribunal of Anzar al-Sunnah decided to implement the divine judgment and slit their throat to serve as an example to others. Let all those who work for the Americans and the Jews stop doing so, a voice on the video warned. That's interesting. They kind of put the Jews in there, too. Now, you got to realize that that is right there. Right there, that's the enemy. Okay, that's what you're dealing with. Okay, the Al-Qaeda here. And this war, like many wars before it, is a question of will. Okay, what is your political will? Now, they have the political will to film cutting the head, slitting the throats of men who are bound, okay, cutting their heads off and putting them on their chest. That's what the enemy is capable of. Okay, that's what they're about. That, to me, pretty much is some evil shit right there. Now, people are like, oh, Abu Ghraib, you know, oh, they tortured people in this jail, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, say what you like. We're not filming cutting people's heads off, putting them on chests, okay? We're not charging people with religious law. Now, if the enemy, okay, the secret to success is if you're willing to do what others are unwilling to do, you will be successful. This transcends to war. If you are willing to commit acts that the enemy is not willing to commit, you will win the war. This isn't like, you know, some kind of made-up bullshit. That's just the reality of the situation. You know, it's not like we're dealing with an honorable enemy here. Okay, these guys are right the fuck out of her. All right, they're totally insane. They're worshiping rocks, for fuck's sakes. All right, so when you see this, you know, this kind of, when I look at stuff like that, I go, and they're doing this to their own fucking people. You know, these are guys who are Muslims themselves who decide, you know what, we don't really happen to agree with this whole, you know, fundamentalist psycho Muslim shit. You know, Islamofascism, not really my thing, would probably like to, you know, help the Americans kind of bring some sort of balance here. That might be a plan, but it's not really happening, is it? No. So what they're going to do is they're going to get arrested for it and have their heads fucking cut off on video. Now, you know, you look at that, and for me, this is kind of one of those little pieces of justification that I say let Delta off the chain. You know, I'm kind of glad SOCOM is taking over the war on terror, to be honest with you, because I think they'll do a much better job, and we should keep, keep the politicians out of it. Realistically, keep the fucking politicians out of the war. Give it to the generals and say, you know what, let's just, why don't you just take charge of this motherfucker? Okay, do whatever you need to do to get the fucking job done, because that's the way war is. Don't like the fact we're at war. Do not like that. Don't like how we got to war. Don't really like that. And eventually, I'd like to have an investigation about this whole 9/11 thing. That all said, we are currently in a war. We are either going to pull out, which that isn't going to happen, or we're going to win this motherfucker. Now, if we're going to win, that means we've got to do some fucking damage. And you know what? Shit is going to happen. And, that's the enemy. So you can just kind of make a decision about how you want to play this. Because what if they win? Consider the alternative. What if they win? You know, what if the United States were to actually wind up going into massive economic decline? Because these guys aren't fucking stupid. I mean, this is very effective stuff. I mean, how many people do you think is going to be informing the United States now that they watch their two buddies, who are, like, quite powerful in charge of, you know, 30 people each, get their heads sawed off and placed on their chest? How many guys do you think are going to be willing to cooperate with the United States? Not too many. So, you know, looking at that, it's kind of like, well, you know, maybe a little bit of whatever is required. Maybe if that means that I have to, you know, debone a few people to get some information, then, yeah, okay, that's fair. I could probably go with that. I'd want to make sure that, again, you know, of course, torture on that standard isn't really necessary because we can do it all with pharmaceuticals now. But, yeah, you know, that's what we're dealing with. That's the enemy. So if shooting them up with a bunch of drugs to get some information, I don't really have a problem with that. And in war, let's be real. I've seen a lot of people talk about human rights. I've never actually seen any evidence of them existing. You know, I've never seen any real proof of human rights. I've never seen them anywhere. A lot of people talk about them and say, we need human rights. True. But human rights only exist as long as people with guns are willing to support them. And, well, given my choice between the druthers, would you rather be living in a police state run by, you know, North American cops? Or Muslim psycho bags of shit? You know, your call. How do you want to do this? I personally, I'd rather go with, you know, the North American police state versus the Sharia law police state. That's just me. You know, it's kind of easy to choose between right and wrong, but it's a little harder to choose between the wrong that's more right. Into some conspiracy news. Time Warner's ISP Roadrunner, now this was a couple of days ago, this is kind of a weird story here, has blocked access to all of Alex Jones' flagship websites across the entire United States. Now, this is some interesting shit. Now, since then, I understand this has been repaired. So this is kind of a past tense. And this is from his website, so he's foaming at the mouth here. We were first alerted to this problem early this morning when several locals in Austin reported they were unable to access Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, or Prison Planet TV. Austin Time Warner had previously shut down access to our website on a whim, claiming they were hate material, but in all cases quickly restored them after receiving complaints. However, this latest attack on free speech is occurring nationwide, with Time Warner subscribers from New York to California reporting their access to websites being blocked. This is one of the reasons why we're afraid of things like Internet, too. The last attempt to shut us down came shortly after the London bombings. Interesting. Which saw our traffic go through the roof after we released a plethora of articles exposing government involvement. The consequences of this is that PrisonPlanet.com alone on some days gets more hits than the Britney Spears website or Rush Limbaugh. Interesting shit. I guess Alex is doing pretty good for himself down there. Previously reported that the UK ISPs like Tiscali were blocking their subscribers from accessing the website after the 7/7 bombings. Now, why would they do that? It's obvious then that those in high places are showing their disapproval, which only vindicates all the information we've been putting out. Which, you know, he's got a point there. How can a website that merely reports and comments on mainstream media articles be described as hate unless there's a different agenda afoot? How can Bill O'Reilly get on Fox News and call for an assassination of prime ministers and Pat Robertson on the 700 Club do the same, yet Prison Planet gets censored for being hateful? We have never called for violence against anyone or and actively encourage peaceful exchange of information. This is part of a growing trend of authoritarian censorship of the Internet in preparation for the emergence of Internet 2, where only government-approved websites will be allowed to exist and the old Internet will be shut down. When that happens, we are well and truly fucked. Okay, it'll be pretty much all over but the crying, but when that happens. So be advised that even though you may not have even heard of this because it was such a hiccup, it may have come and gone so fast, but that is something that you can bank. Well, like, you know that Alex is going to be one of the first guys shut down. Whether or not you believe the guy, I mean, he said some pretty intense shit. So whether or not you believe him, you know, is up to you. But it's interesting that everyone's trying to shut this guy down. If he's such a kook, who gives a fuck, right? Now, moving right along in nuke war news. Remember I was talking about how, Iran was talking about how they're going to be, you know, no, we're allowed to pursue nukes and peaceful means. You know, we're not going to, we don't want the United States. They started issuing threats saying that, if the United States tries to fuck with us and we're, you know, in our nuke program, we'll take any means necessary. Well, that story's just developed a little bit further. Iran is freaking me the fuck out. Iran's new president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, has placed the military firmly in control of its nation's nuclear program, undercutting his government's claim that the program is intended for civilian use, according to a leading opposition group. So, you know, so much. So Iran fucking lied. They said that they weren't after the bomb. But I guess, well, they are. Leaders of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the force created specifically to defend the 1979 Islamic Revolution, now dominate Iran's Supreme National Security Council, the country's top foreign policymaking under the body of the Constitution. Now, if you think the Nazis were bad, you need to check out some of these Islamic revolutionary shit. Okay, this is out of fucking control. Okay? And for the record, I will put on a star-spangled armband long before I'll fucking kneel to a rock. Thanks so much. Mr. Ahmadinejad, a little-known former mayor of Tehran, before his surprise election in July, is a former IRGC commander and his new council secretary general, Ali Laranji, who was he was the guy talking shit saying that he was going to fuck with the United States, who has taken the lead in negotiations about Iran's nuclear programs. His negotiation style is something like this. We're going to do what we want. If you fuck with us, we'll take whatever means necessary to defeat you. Thanks. Revolutionary Guard commanders have also taken charge of the Council's internal security strategy and political posts, according to a report issued by the Paris-based National Council of Resistance of Iran. A Revolutionary Guard veteran even serves as the Council's press spokesman. The military, under the new president, is firmly in control of the nuclear program and the nuclear negotiations with the United Nations and the West, said Mohammed Mohadasin, chairman of the NCRI's Foreign Affairs Committee, in a telephone interview yesterday. The personal changes make it less. The personnel changes make it less and less credible that Iran is pursuing nuclear programs for peaceful uses, he said. Now, what do you suppose is going to happen if Iran gets the bomb? Okay, what the fuck do you suppose is going to happen if Iran gets the bomb, huh? You think they're going to keep that there for peaceful means? No! They're going to deploy that motherfucker for sure! Why? Because their holy books tell them to, okay? These are people who have no problem strapping bombs on their chest, walking into a pizzeria, and killing men, women, and children. You know, say what you like. I mean, well, Sean, now, come on now. Come on now, Sean. You know, the Japanese used to kill themselves, too. Okay, you know what? I've got a lot of respect for Japanese culture. And the whole divine wind thing, those were soldiers crashing planes into ships. Everyone's a combatant here. You'd be pretty hard-pressed to get a Japanese citizen to draw the old samurai sword, strap a bomb on his chest, go wandering around a pizzeria and blowing himself the fuck up. Okay, Japanese soldiers, even during the Second World War, even though the prison camps were way the fuck out of control, okay, the prison camps are total, all kinds of war crimes and shit happening there, but the soldiers themselves were good fucking soldiers, man. These Muslim bags of shit who are running the war for Al-Qaeda and stuff like that, I'm sorry, man, they don't even qualify, okay? They don't even step into the soldier arena. These people have a totally alien concept of honor. I don't understand it. It's all fucked up. And now they want nuclear weapons. The report, which also tracks Iran's extensive nuclear infrastructure and technical programs, charges that Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei... He's fucking dead. Ayatollah K has turned the IRGC personnel in order to eliminate all bureaucratic and political obstacles in obtaining nuclear weapons. So we're going to cut the red tape and just go straight for the fucking bomb. That's the plan here. Oh, good job. Well done, you. Nice to see. You know, maybe some of the guys from the SOCOM unit, I'm sure that we've got choppers in the air right now, arcing out ideas to go in there and do what needs to get done to make sure that these psycho mud hut rock worshipping nutbags don't happen to get the ability to make small suns on the planet. That would be very cool. Thank you very much. Now, in booster news, run! It can make you smarter in 30 minutes. Not the kind of smarter that is acquired through learning something new, like small engine repair or quadratic equations. I'm talking about improving your brain from the inside out. The kind of smart that leads to faster and more accurate decision-making, yields greater productivity, and inspires innovation. If you want to be calculated about it, it's the kind of smart that makes you money. And you'll need to invest, all you need to invest is half an hour, 300 or 400 calories, and $80 for a decent pair of running shoes. I put it to you, you don't need to spend $80 for a decent pair of running shoes. For years, aerobic exercise has been touted for its many health benefits. It's no leap to suggest that it can reduce your risk of nearly every known disease. Very, very true. This is why I teach it in patrolling. And this is especially true considering heart health, but the effect of cardio reaches far beyond lipid profiles and blood pressure readings. In fact, it may do as much for your brain as it does for your ticker, maybe more, which is very true. There's a great book out there called Why We Run, which gets into even more on this. And I take it one step further by carrying 5 pounds in each hand. That way I know I could run with, say, a rifle or a couple of pistols should I go all, Tetragrammaton cleric. Richard Haag believes it. When he retired early from his position as president of one of the largest security firms on the East Coast, Haag was financially set for life. At 38, he focused on getting his handicap down to 10, but found that he was crushingly bored. Yes, being bored is bad. So he took a new challenge, cardio. What started as a daily 2-mile walk became an ultra-endurance lifestyle within a year. He once ran 63 miles nonstop in a charity race. Holy fuck. 63 miles nonstop. Sure, his fitness level improved. Well, at 63 miles, you're not improved. You're pretty much maxed out. But what he really noticed, that his brain was overflowing. That's when he went back to work. Since Hegg's return as a CEO of his company, Hegg Security Systems, has been invigorated by his exercise, as his body had. It's no coincidence that I've done more to increase the company's value in the past 2 years than I had in the previous 10. Very, very true. Very, very true. And that's one of the reasons why I exercise a whole ton in hopes that I could get my security company to do a similar thing. And what are you going to ask yourself? You know, and this is something else. If, let's say you won the game. You know, let's say you won the fucking game. You got yourself the dwelling, house, apartment, condo, penthouse, whatever. Okay. You got the partner. You know, if you want a family, you got that. If you got the dog, you got that. What if you want, what happens when you get it all? You know, what are you going to do then? Wait to die. Game until you fall over. You know, is that what you're going to do? You're going to take up all your time by playing first-person shooters? Is that the plan? Well, I don't think you're really going to be doing any good with that. So, you know, it's an interesting concept just that by itself. This guy, you know, has a successful company. He's bored, so he goes back to work. Isn't that interesting? And you'll find that more and more people, you know, after they're happy, it's be an interesting sort of experiment to imagine yourself having everything in the world that you could possibly want to do and own, and then think to yourself, what would I do if I had everything after you were bored? What would you do? And that should probably be the direction that you should take in your life. Now, moving right along into the torture sort of section, the Republican-controlled Senate voted overwhelmingly Wednesday to impose restrictions on the treatment of terrorism suspects, delivering rare wartime rebuke to President Bush. So President Bush got his pee-pee slapped for torturing terrorism. And again, I really don't... Torture is really obsolete, okay? Unless time is a factor, i.e., where's the bomb? You've got 20 minutes, and he starts going... Okay, well, at that point, I'm, you know, crushing your fingers. But if you've got the time, why don't you juice these guys with some of the MKUltra drugs we got floating around? Just a thought. Defying the White House... Senators voted 90-9, huge defiance, to approve an amendment that would prohibit the use of cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or punishment against anyone in U.S. government custody, regardless of where they are held. Now, I would say that cruel and inhuman, okay, I could see that going. And cruel and inhuman punishment, okay, I can agree with that. But degrading treatment? Who gives a fuck? They're prisoners. Okay? It's not supposed to be a fucking hotel. Okay? They are prisoners of war. Don't degrade them. Degrading is a little bit vague. You know, a little bit vague there. The amendment was added to a $440 billion military spending bill for the budget that began October 1. $440 billion. Jesus. The proposal, sponsored by Senator John McCain, also requires all service members to follow procedures in the Army feed manual when they detain and interrogate terrorism suspects. Well, there's certain things to that. You know, one of the arguments for not torturing prisoners and being nasty to them is that the concept that the enemy will be nicer to your prisoners as well. As we've seen, the enemy likes to saw off the heads of their own people if they happen to talk to us. So, you know. But again, I really don't understand why no one's juicing these people with all kinds of drugs. Bush administration officials say the legislation would limit the president's authority and flexibility in war. Maybe technically true, I guess. But lawmakers from each party have said Congress must provide U.S. troops with clear standards, which is true. They need to know exactly what the fuck for detaining, interrogating, and prosecuting terrorism suspects in light of allegations of mistreatment at Guantanamo Bay and the abuse scandal at Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq. Like that bitch who, you know, had a couple photos taken of her, and now she's like, her career is completely fucked. We demand intelligence without ever telling our troops what was permitted and what was forbidden. And when things went wrong, we blame them and punish them, said McCain, a prisoner of war in Vietnam. So this guy, you know, he kind of knows what the fuck's going on here. Our troops are not served by ambiguity. They're crying out for clarity, and Congress cannot shrink from its duty, said McCain. Strong words, man. Strong words. The Senate was expected to vote with overall spending... Senate was expected to vote on the overall spending bill by week's end. House-approved version of it does not include the detainee provisions. It is unclear how much support the measure has in the GOP-run House. However, Republican John Murtha of Pennsylvania, the top Democrat at the House, how can he be the top Democrat? Representative John Murtha of Pennsylvania, who's the top Democrat of the House of Appropriations Subcommittee on Defense, is supporting McCain's legislation. Murtha could prove a powerful ally when the House and Senate negotiators meet to reconcile differences in their bills. The confrontation by members of the president's own party shows how reluctant some lawmakers are to give him an unchecked wartime power as the conflict in Iraq drags on and U.S. casualties mount. Well, you need to kind of dominate there, otherwise more casualties are going to come in. It also comes as the president seeks to show strength after weeks in which his approval rating plummeted, with Americans questioning the direction of the war and sluggish federal response to Hurricane Katrina and the upsurge in gas prices. Well, you know, we need to do something about this fucking war over there, and rather than bring our troops home, they're not going to bring the troops home, okay? The troops are not coming home. So, the only other way to get the troops home is to have victory over there. And I'm sorry, you know, if the question was posed to me, you know, I took one of these political exams the other day, and it turns out, it's a pretty good political test, you know, I did. And it turns out that I'm, in fact, a centralist, you know. But I am very quick to have an us and them mentality. I will do that. You know, it's like, well, how many lives, like, if killing 10 people in a foreign country saves 2 North American lives, are you down with that, Sean? Well, if it's all about soldiers, yeah. I'll kill 1,000 soldiers rather than see 1 North American soldier die. That's where I swing in because, well, that's our culture. This is our sort of, you know, world here that we're defending. And if we don't defend our culture, well, you know, we go back to the concepts of stoning people and chicks in beehive outfits. And yeah, I'll fucking kill people to keep chicks out of beehive outfits. I kind of like the bikini contest. Sorry. And if you're going to, you know, fight for something, like they say in Full Metal Jacket, my word is poontang. Now, in spy news, this is some heavy shit. You're not going to see this on CNN. Both the FBI and CIA are calling it the first case of espionage in the White House in modern history. Maybe it's the first public case of espionage in the White House in modern history, but there we go. Officials tell ABC News the alleged spy worked undetected in the White House for almost 3 years. 3 years. Leandro Arag-Gonzalo, 46, was a U.S. Marine most recently assigned to the staff of Vice President Dick Cheney. Go, Dick. I don't know of a case where the vetting broke down before as resulted in a spy being in the White House, said Richard Clark, a former White House advisor, who is now an ABC News consultant. Federal investigators say Arag-Gonzalo, I guess that's how you say that, Arag-Gonzalo, a naturalized citizen from the Philippines, whatever that means, used his top secret clearance to steal classified intelligence documents from the White House computers, which is pretty much a death sentence, I would say. In 2000, Arag-Gonzalo worked on the staff of the then Vice President Al Gore. When interviewed by Philippine television, he remarked how valued Philippine employees were at the White House. I think what they like most is our integrity and loyalty, Arag-Gonzalo said. Officials say the classified material, which Arag-Gonzalo stole from the Vice President's office, included damaging dossiers on the President of the Philippines. He then passed those on to opposition politicians planning a coup in the Pacific nation. Interesting stuff. Now, one way to eliminate this, you know, one way to do that is to make sure that you don't have any people from foreign countries working with your government. That's one way of preventing it. Of course, it could be said that, you know, it could not be a race issue. I mean, anybody will jump into bed for money. So maybe that wouldn't work. I retract that. I guess it's a thought, but this guy, you know, he could have sold plants to Japan. So, you know, I guess you just need better vetting, maybe. Even though, regardless, if you're caught as a spy and you're known as a spy, the guy should probably be shot because, well, that's pretty fucking high treason. Even though it's not for the Russians or some other government, the fact is, occurred at the White House as a matter of great concern, said John Martin, who was the government's lead espionage prosecutor for 26 years. Last year, after leaving the Marines, Arag-Gonzalo was caught by the FBI while he worked for the Bureau at an intelligence center in Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. According to a criminal complaint, Aragoncillo was arrested last month and accused of downloading more than 100 classified documents from FBI computers. Well, at least they weren't MP3s, though, right? The information was transferred mostly by emails, said U.S. Attorney Christopher J. Christie at the time of Aragoncillo's arrest. Since the arrest, officials say Aragoncillo has started to cooperate. He has admitted on spying while working on the staff of Vice President Cheney's office. Well, you know, we are at a time of war. He is guilty of spying. You get shot. Thanks for coming out. Now, on to Frankenfood news. The Food and Drug Administration is expected to rule soon that milk from cloned animals and meat from their offspring are safe to eat, raising questions of whether Americans are ready to welcome one of the modern biology's most controversial achievements to the dinner table. Now, there's not much really question of this because Americans are like, no, we're not. Hundreds of cloned pigs, cows, and other animals are already living on farms around the country as companies and livestock producers experiment and await decisions from the FDA. Which, you know, I'm not too confident the FDA is going to do its job. The agriculture industry has observed a voluntary FDA moratorium on the use of products of clones, but has recently become clear that a few offspring of cloned pigs and cows are already trickling into the food supply. How the fuck are they trickling into the food supply if you're not supposed to be doing it? They're either allowed or they're not allowed. If they're not allowed and you're selling food that's not allowed because it's genetically modified, then we need to fucking know about it. Many in agriculture believe such genetic copies are the next logical step in improving the nation's livestock. Yes, there are a few, not many, there are a few who believe that. And there's even more who are like, fuck no, thank you very much, I'd like to have a normal cow. Speaking of eating, in booster news, now this is a good reason to go get some sushi today. Caution over consumption of mercury-containing fish by pregnant women may be adversely affecting the development of cognitive abilities in their kids. The findings come from a study published in the October issue of Environmental Health Perspectives. Excessive mercury intake during pregnancy can harm the neurological developments of fetuses. The study found that nutrients in fish, such as N3 polyunsaturated fatty acids, may be critical to infant neurocognitive development. And this is one of these kind of things where, you know, I would say that, you know, if you're getting good, you know, food for your kids, fish is a good food. I mean, do you think it's totally ironic that Japanese are totally dominating the science field right now? Do you think that's completely, you know, sort of a coincidence? No. I mean, fish is a huge part of these guys' diet, you know, so we should probably learn from that. Fish is good food, dude. I'm all about eating the fish. And if you click on this link and follow that story, there's a lot of good reasons for you to do the same thing. Today's daily hack is a homemade PBX. And this is for when all the telephone companies go south. And this is from Omega Draconis. It also opens up certain options of what if we were to have our own private telephone networks if we were to take over our very own gated communities and neighborhoods. Interesting thought. But that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, Sim and I will be back on Monday to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 71 people, 56 continuing subscribers from last month, plus 3 new subscribers, plus 12 one-time donations. Thank you so much. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. Thanks again for everyone, their assistance gathering data. And if you have access to sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel, that's N-A-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Zero X-E-R-O, so Zero G, Are You Weightless? And I'm going to leave you now with a killer track by Murray Head called One Night in Bangkok. You know you love it. So until Monday, that's what server said. End of line.
Bangkok, oriental setting in the city, don't know what the city is. Creme de la creme of the chess world in a show with everything but Yul Brynner. Time flies, doesn't seem a minute since the Tyrolean spa had the chess bars in it. All change, don't you know that when you play at this level, there's no ordinary venue. It's Iceland, or the Philippines, or Hastings, or this place.
One night in Bangkok, in the world's jump. But the pulse ain't free. You'll find a god in
down over your pieces, brother.
It's a drag, it's a bore, it's sweet, it's like you put it, you've been looking at the bar, not looking at the city.
What do you mean? You've seen one crowded, polluted, thinking town.
Do my Somerset.
Get tired, you're talking to a tourist whose every move's among the purists. I get my kids above the waistline, sunshine.
One night in Bangkok makes the heart man humble. Not much between despair and ecstasy. One night in Bangkok and the tough guys crumble. Can't be too careful with your company. I can feel the devil walking next to me.
Your temples, your massage parlors.
One night in bed.